Hey, Claire.
Yeah?
I have a gift for you.
Oh, I love gifts.
Okay.
Actually, no thanks. I'm good.
Okay, well, Melody.
I'm good, too. Thanks.
You're good, too. All right. Well, the gift? Sabbath. How many times have we been offered this gift, but yet we don't receive it? Ken Shigematsu, in a book called Survival Guide for the Soul, asks, when was the last time that you took 24 hours away from work or anything related to work? When was the last time you unplugged yourself from your laptop, email, social media, or smartphone for a day? I confess, I too many times have rejected this gift. And working on this message, I will confess, has been very convicting this past week. Let me read for you Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with a strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord our God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. A phrase that is repeated throughout the book of Deuteronomy is, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. Historian Thomas Cahill tells us that up until this point in history, no civilization had ever given any ordinary working people a regular day off. Sabbath was a unique and unprecedented gift. It reminded the Israelites that they were no longer slaves. They were no longer defined by making bricks. They were free. This morning, as Peter shared with us, you know, we looked at the work of IJM. Well, they're doing this work all around the world to free people who are trapped in slavery. Sabbath is a gift that reminds us that we are not slaves. We are free, and our lives are not to be determined by what we do. We have infinite worth, not in our doing, but because we are God's children. It's an enormous statement of our value, that we're not slaves, that we are free, and we are created for a love relationship with God. Pete Cesaro makes the comment that when we don't do Sabbath, we buy into the line that our work is who we are. Sabbath helps us get centered and oriented, seeing that our value is in God alone, not in any kind of performance. You're probably very familiar with the phrase 24/7, which is a phrase actually that only has come about the last 10 years. The world in which we live goes just from one thing onto the next. Things tend to be nonstop, where one day just kind of blurs into the next. We're busy with work. Kids, laundry, pets, school, exercising, shopping, sports, appointments, and so on. There are many options for us to fill our days. And we are running fast, working hard, addicted to noise and activity. People today are overloaded and fragmented, not experiencing any kind of wholeness. And that's what we're focusing on in this series. The peace that we need in our life to experience wholeness is this element of Sabbath. When we do not take the time and make the effort to engage in Sabbath, we miss out on that wholeness piece, on rest, renewal, creativity, and energy are lost. And our bodies can eventually respond with physical ailment or burnout. Mark Buchanan, in the book, The Rest of God, Restoring Your Soul by Restoring Sabbath, comments that neglecting this gift too long will make your soul like soil never left fallow, hard and dry and spent. Exodus 20 records for us the Ten Commandments. And verse 1 begins with, "Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery." The commandments are then listed, beginning with, "You know, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." And then the fourth commandment is this: "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." Sabbath is a gift, but it is also a command. It's not just some kind of nice suggestion. God declared that the Sabbath is holy. That's quite a statement. It's something special, something set apart. Stopping for a 24-hour period each week. Stopping to let go and rest in the fact of God's grace and love for us. When we violate this commandment, we're really sinning against ourselves, because the Sabbath was made as a gift for us. All through the Old Testament, God repeats this Sabbath commandment. It was difficult for them, and it is difficult for us. It's difficult, I think, because it's so hard for us to let go. We have so many fears about letting go. Okay, what will happen if we don't check those emails? If I stop and I leave work? If I stop studying? We can be afraid. What will happen? Will we fall behind? The core issue in Sabbath really is trusting God, putting Him first. The Jewish rabbis, in wanting to help people follow the Sabbath, they devised this whole list of rules, and it's quite fun to read through some of these. And, you know, they probably meant very well by doing this, but it ended up going sideways and missing the whole point. They came up with all these rules, and sometimes people would do really crazy things to just get around those particular rules. This legalistic way of viewing the Sabbath, I think, has continued even for us in many regards. Yeah, we don't have some of those crazy rules, but how many of you grew up with the idea of, like, okay, you can't play cards on a Sunday, or no, you can't go out and play a game? Yeah, some of you raise your hands. Well, Jesus, you know, like them back then, saw how they were getting this wrong. And in Mark 2:27, Jesus says, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of Sabbath." The issue is not what you do or what you don't do. The issue is doing what works for you and getting off that treadmill and connecting with God. Sabbath involves delighting in life, delighting in God, in His creation, food that He has given us, people, music. There are four components that I think we need to keep in mind as we look at this topic of Sabbath: to stop, rest, delight, and contemplate. So let's just briefly look at each of these. First, stop. It's a day to cease work. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word which means to cease, to stop working. It's not, you know, just a day off to run around and do errands or to catch up on household responsibilities. But it's time to stop, ponder, worship. It's time to stop being on that treadmill and trust that God will keep the world and life in order without us. I really like Pete Cesario's description, and I've probably mentioned this before, as Sabbath as a snow day. You know, think back a few weeks ago when we had one of those snow days when there was just tons of snow. School was canceled. We canceled several of the meetings here at the church. Roads were closed. People couldn't go into work. Well, a day like this kind of gives you permission then to stop everything and do what you want. You don't have the obligations, the pressures, the responsibilities. That's what we're given on Sabbath. few of us probably would not give ourselves an, you know, a no-obligation day very often. But God gives us one every seventh day. How many of you look forward to vacation? You know, oh great, I'm looking forward to this, a time off, get away, have a break. Well, God offers us a break every week. That's 52 snow days a year. Second, rest. Do things that are relaxing. Well, maybe it's taking a nap or going for a nice leisurely walk, reading a book, watching a movie. In resting, God reminds us that we are loved, receiving regardless of what it is that, you know, we achieve, that we are human beings, not, you know, a human doing. I think we can become so focused on our to-do list that we forget to pay attention to those bigger, more important things in life. Rest is how we quiet our mind and listen to God, being still before Him. Sabbath is a chance to rest, and through that rest, we find spiritual peace. Augustine states, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." What may be rest for you? Well, it might not be rest for me. Whatever we do, it needs to be God-centered. We need to ask, okay, what kind of activities will bring me rest? What is it that replenishes you? Experiment with different practices that bring joy and that draw you closer to God. Ken Shigematsu shares on how Sabbath, which he takes on a Friday, he takes some time to sit in quiet meditation. He swims. He walks his son to school. He enjoys lunch with his wife and will often barbecue something for dinner because that does not seem like work to him. He doesn't do any work or emails, pay bills, organize his desk, or do any kind of obligatory shopping. Third, delight. Paying attention to God's amazing gifts and delighting in Him. It's savoring food. It's going out into creation and breathing deeply. It's enjoying good conversations with friends. Willis Green shared, you know, even paying attention to something like the gift of warm water as I wash my hands. Willis went on to say, "On Sabbath, I take off my shoes and delight in God's gifts. My husband also celebrates Sabbath. So together we will ask, what would bring us delight today? We've answered that question with day trips to fun places, long drives, eating unhurried meals, and other experiences that remind us that God's world is a playground when we look at it through the lens of delight. Fourth, contemplate. The focus of Sabbath is to reflect on the love of God, being acutely aware of His presence. Marva Dawn shares, "Every Sunday I enjoyed worship and Bible studies, ate different foods than I ate during the rest of the week, and engaged in relaxing and creative activities. Sometimes I played the organ for worship, went to the beach or swimming pool, took long walks, or played in the parks in the afternoon with friends or by myself. Most of all, Sunday was a day for enjoying God's presence." Theologian Leonard Duhin says, "To fail to see the value of simply being with God and doing nothing is to miss the heart of Christianity." Stop. Rest. Delight. And contemplate. There's no set right or wrong way to do Sabbath. The Apostle Paul repeatedly writes how we are free from the law. Consider Sabbath for what it is, a gift. It's a chance to enjoy our relationship with God and to have a day of peace. Peace that then informs all the other days of the week. If you look at it this way, well, you don't have to worry about a list of do's and don'ts. You have permission to play, to be with friends, to take a nap, to read a good book. And Sabbath doesn't have to be on a specific day. Jews do it from sundown Friday to sundown on Saturday. I've typically taken Sunday afternoon as Sabbath, although I confess I have often disregarded this. And now with the marriage course coming up, okay, I'm going to need to find something totally different. Well, maybe you need to experiment and see what will work for you. is Sabbath Sunday? Is it Saturday afternoon to maybe Sunday afternoon? Or is it a day in the middle of the week? We don't have to be legalistic about this. We can move where that day is. The idea is not to get hung up on doing it right or being tied down to some kind of legalistic schedule. It's creating space, setting aside that time to be with Christ. The reality in this is that it will mean giving up something. It requires trusting God, surrendering some of those things that we think we should be doing. It does take work. In Hebrews 4:11, it encourages us, make every effort to enter into that rest. C.S. Lewis commented, busyness for most of us is a form of sloth because we haven't planned well enough in order to embrace rest. Ouch. We have to plan in advance what we will do and what we will not do. It means being intentional. I want to read to you a story from Ken Shigematsu's book about one man's experience. And this is what he writes. The president of a theological graduate school shared with me an experience he had taken time away from the day-to-day grind of his job. After leading his school through a major capital campaign, he and his wife traveled to Wales so they could step off the hamster wheel of achievement and relax. They stopped using a cell phone, the internet, and email. As they walked, read, slept, ate, and talked, they moved from a lifestyle characterized by doing and performing into one marked by silence, contemplation, and being. But something unexpected happened while he was in Wales. He says, I experienced significant withdrawal pains, both psychologically and physically, he confessed. I yearned for work and production and was troubled by having nothing to do. For me, it was a significant crisis. By exclusively pursuing work, he had valued doing more than being. Sabbath had been squeezed out of his life. After returning home, he resolved to live a new rhythm, marked by a diligent observance of Sabbath. He kept a 24-hour day of rest, where there would be no email, internet, or computer use of any kind. He spent time worshiping in community, with family or friends, or in the garden, but he did nothing remotely related to work. After honoring a weekly Sabbath for nearly a year, he was surprised by how the regular practice of Sabbath produced an unexpected outcome, the deepening sense of shalom. A deepening sense of shalom. If you recall back to the introduction of this series, shalom means wholeness. As we take this journey to wholeness, Sabbath is an important piece to make this possible. God wants to set us free and to bring wholeness into our lives. And so he offers this rhythm for us. We talked last week about spending time in God's Word, and I hope you've had an opportunity to set some time aside this past week and enter into that kind of routine. These times provide moments of stillness and connection to God. But Sabbath provides us with so much more. We are missing out on a huge blessing when we neglect or reject this gift. We miss that vital piece that contributes to wholeness. We end up living in slavery instead of wholeness. Will you pray with me? Well, Lord, you have given us this amazing gift of Sabbath, and as I've said, I confess to you my rejection of this incredible gift. You have created us to have this rhythm of life, and when we don't honor it, we really see how we are fragmented and miss out on the wholeness that you desire for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us discern just what Sabbath looks like for each of us and take the step of obedience and trust to follow you in this area of our lives. Lord, help us to keep those four principles of stopping, resting, delighting, and just contemplation. May we see you as the center of our lives, stopping and trusting you, opening our lives where we can live in freedom and in deep, intimate connection with you. We thank you, Lord, for this gift, for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.